So, Tyler.
Y'all.
I think I talked about it last week. I got into a little bit of a Fendi bendy.
Okay. Yes.
I don't know if it was talked about or not, but I did. Got into a little bit of a fender bender.
Last week is a little presumptuous of you. That's not the word. A little, what's the word?
Precarious?
Like, no, where it's like you're thinking the best of a situation, but you know that's not
provocative.
How it goes. No, that's like that's not what when you're trying to think of the best situation. Provocative. I love situations that are provocative.
It started with a P. That was where I was going.
How
poignant?
I like how you're like
poignant.
If you think of the best out of a situation, oh, provocative. Yeah, every situation. If I were to make it better, it'd be provocative.
That's like a very Ron Burgundy. That's very provocative.
That's like a imagine if you're statement. Just. You know, you're just making dinner for your family, and then how do you make that better? Provocative.
Make it provocative.
Start rubbing spaghetti sauce on your titties. It does make it better, I promise. Put one raw
noodle.
Look at
those meatballs.
One raw noodle up the butt. It feels pretty good. Use a thin linguine. If you use a
Did
thick spaghetti.
Did you just say weenie?
A thin.
What were we talking about?
Guinea.
Last week was what? What's the word you're trying to come up with?
I was saying presumptuous, but it's a little not presumptuous. What's the word?
Precarious?
No. Again, you didn't listen to my definition at all.
What was the definition?
When you're thinking of something
sexy, that's provocative.
No, I didn't say sexy. Like when you're thinking on something and you're thinking of it like better than it really was, but not presumptuous. Let me ask ChatGPT.
The robots are going to take over.
What is the word? I like how I'm saying it like I'm like it can hear me.
What
is the word that means?
I already know what you're going to ask me, Tyler.
Of a situation in a more positive light than it really was. I don't know if that's
glass half full.
The word you're looking for is rosy retrospection. It's not.
You think of life in a rosy retrospection.
Not like looking back, but like.
Anyways, last week kind of sucked.
Okay, what I meant to say is, I can't think of the word, but last week is very kind of you to say when we really don't record every week. It was not last week. That's what I was trying to say. You know, that word.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, okay, last podcast. Huh.
It's very, that's very. Not presumptuous. You know what word I'm looking for.
Yeah, okay. So, last week was 4th of July. Very provocative.
Dude, I think I know. I know the word, and it's so obvious now that I've found it. I asked ChatGPT again.
What is it?
Optimistic.
Optimistic?
Positive. It's really optimistic. Is that the word I was looking for? I still feel like it's
I don't know.
It's very optimistic.
I'm looking.
To say.
Glass half full is optimistic. Glass half empty is pessimistic.
Half empty. Half empty.
Hap empty.
All right, anyway, so.
Last week, 4th of July, greatest day. We kicked Britain's ass.
Ass. We kicked his ass.
Hey, look, all I'm saying is when they're ready for round two, here we are. Just come get us.
I'll throw another batch of tea in that harbor.
Bro, all I drink is sweet tea. What's wrong with me?
Dude, that's terrible. Sweet tea is so sweet, bro.
It is. It's so much sugar, but it runs through my veins.
Oh, it is so much sugar.
That's why
I love it.
That's why Americans are fat. We have sweet tea.
Anyways, so last week you got a little Fendi bendy.
Week before. Actually, it's like 3 weeks ago.
It was a long time ago.
Last
podcast when you got into a Fendi.
I got rear-ended. This guy just rammed his car right into my bumper, and it was not good. I'm fine.
Sorry.
Nice. Tyler is too. That was not a
had an attack
stroke he was having.
It felt like it. It was just a burp. We're good.
Anyways, like I was cool. It's fine. It's whatever. But we're going through a little bit of a change shortage because my wife was previously without employment. Now she is employed. She works for the state DA.
Okay.
So if you ever F with me, I will prosecute you with the fullest extent of the law, whatever it is.
It's
a cool job.
Do it.
But you know what sucks? She gets paid at the end of the month.
Okay.
That's
great. A lot of jobs.
Yeah. That's great. That's cool.
You that want
means
that bi-weekly?
When rent's here, bang, we got it.
Yeah.
But you know what we ain't got?
What?
Money right now.
I was going to say bi-weekly. Is that what you like? You like bi-weekly?
No, I get paid weekly.
Bi-weekly? It's that nice. Not straight weekly? That week that doesn't know its gender. It's a bi-week. That week is bi. A they-them week. A theme. What? A week.
A week.
A they week. A week. I get paid weekly. I'm gonna call paid bi-weekly weekly now.
Weekly.
Get paid weekly.
I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of gay.
Not geekly, weekly.
So anyway, so we got this. I got into a fender bender, right? And it's probably gonna cost at least like $1,500 to fix my bumper and fender. And they got to repaint it, get a new bumper.
Mm-hmm.
It's a truck, dude. Things are more expensive. I was really hoping to just be like, you know what? I really don't care how bad the truck looks right now. I'll just buff out what I can, go about my business. It's a work truck, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's a man's truck.
Yeah.
It's a tool. Tools ain't supposed to be pretty. Anyways, that's how I'm feeling about it. And I'll just take that nice check, that 15 hundo.
Oh, yeah.
Taylor,
pay off some of your credit card debt?
No.
I'll die with that.
I'll die with that. I'm sorry, son. You're getting that. Use it sparingly. But I was going to use that because Taylor's turning 30 next month. And I was like, ooh, cool. I can spend a little bit of that on a birthday because I've been trying to figure that out. But we are on a budge.
Yep.
Big old budget. And I get a call from the insurance company finally after calling them about a million times. They're with the General, so Shaq, shout out, buddy.
He can pay off your credit card debt.
He can pay
off. He's got the money.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But you know what? Apparently, this person is not covered by the General. They were not covered.
At all?
During the time of the incident.
Oh.
They gave me an up-to-date insurance card. But they're like, I'm sorry, but right now we're still investigating, but the driver seemed to not be covered during the time of the incident. And I'm like, so you're basically saying I'm screwed. And they're like, yeah.
You could sue them since they don't have insurance.
I could.
I would recommend not doing that. But
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Right now, it's $250 for uninsured motorists on my side. That's the deductible. And so, but I'm not wanting to get my car fixed.
Right.
I want the cash, but they won't give me cash.
Right.
So I can't go that route. I want the cash now. Right. It's my money.
No. What is that?
It's J.G. Wentworth.
J.G. Wentworth.
877 cash now. Man, that is the song of my people, I guess.
You know what I think of? Like an ad that if you live in Georgia, you heard this all the time when the radio was a thing.
You want ski, good price ski, come in and see Kaminsky.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, man, I'm old. That came out when I was like in high school.
Oh my God, I forgot what the name of it is. It's a jeweler's place.
That's it. Kaminsky Jewelers.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Are you talking about Shane Company?
Yes.
Shane
Gwinnett, Alpharetta, and Kennesaw. Open Monday through Friday, 8, Saturday, Sunday till 9, or online at shaneco.com. I've memorized it because it came on so much.
It's kind of nuts. Why does that happen? One of the jingles.
I know they're opening hours forever.
Well, whenever you need a ring, bro, you know. It's like one like jingle that's California to Georgia, like east to west coast, everyone knows is 100 588 2300 Empire today.
Stanley Steamer makes carpets cleaner.
But yeah,
that's what we should do. We should get into the business of making jingles.
Oh, we could probably suck real hard at that.
Or be really good. They don't have to be good. They could be terrible, but as long as they're memorable.
Brent and Link, they did some good ones.
Brent and Link?
Yeah. But anyways, I wanted the money now. I'm trying not to sing stupid thing again.
So gosh, no.
I want my money now, but that requires time. If I was to go and take this person to small claims, that's going to take a year, 2 years.
I wouldn't do it. It's not worth it.
That being said, I do have a picture of his driver's license.
And
that has his address.
Oh, yeah. You could just threaten him.
I could just go to his house.
Yeah.
And abduct him.
Or if he has any children, that's probably a better strategy. They can't fight.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that, I want it more personal. I'm going to adopt
their
him.
Children is pretty damn personal.
Take my kid. Don't I take think me. That,
oh, you know okay. We know what's important in your life. It's not your kid. Let me tell you.
Anyways, that was the advice my brother gave me.
Oh,
he said you could just go to his house, and I said, no, thanks.
Just shit on his front porch every day until he pays you $1,500.
I want my money.
No, plus I'm not a fan of, like, unless there's like really good reason and cause for it, suing people, because like everyone makes mistakes, and I would hate to be sued over accidentally getting a fender bender.
Yeah,
I don't think it's worth suing somebody I'm over not gonna, that's I'm, like ruin yeah. their life. I say ruin, it's not like a lot of money, but like
I'm all about suing like corporations.
Well, it's like, well, and if they were covered, their insurance is going to pay for it. It's not even suing them, really. It's just you're getting what their claims are worth.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing is, like, I actually, we exchange information, like phone numbers and stuff during the incident. And I've been texting this guy. I'm like, hey, man, I just got this. You said you were covered.
Yeah.
Help me out.
Like, it is kind of, I'm like farted that they lied to you about it.
Well, here's the thing. It's the guy's mom's car.
How old is the guy?
This guy was like 18, 19, something like that. I'm the nicest guy when we get into a wreck. He hits me.
Hey, buddy.
It's fine.
No, it's okay. Don't you worry. How you doing?
That's basically
how it went. Would you like a hot dog? I don't know why.
I don't carry hot dogs on me. What is that?
You shouldn't offer a 17, 18-year-old kid a hot dog when you get hit by it. I'm sorry.
You want a hot dog? I got it in my pocket.
That does sound like a Biden thing.
Come here. Think about it. Come on.
Come on.
Come on, really.
How old are you? 18. Oh,
never mind. Hot dog's not for you.
That's legal. That's okay. 18? Oh, okay.
I'm immediately not interested.
You're too old for me.
Get out of here, Grandpa. Anyways, I'm looking for a little boy. Fat man with a little boy.
You either need to be a little boy or a fat man.
Anyways,
Joe, back off.
So here's the thing.
Trying to give him your hot dog. That's gross.
I didn't hit Obama, damn it.
No, Obama was the passenger.
He was the passenger.
Joe, get out of there. Little kid, y'all run for your life. He's trying to give you his wiener.
Anyways,
I apologize.
It's okay. No, it's okay. It's okay.
I feel like you're tired of me already.
No. I'm trying to think where was my thought process going? Oh, yeah. He was really nervous and like kind of like, oh, no. And then like I said, hey, dude, don't worry. This is exactly what insurance is for. And
don't worry, dude. This is exactly what I'm here to beat the shit. And just start beating the shit out
Why
of
the why'd you hit me? Why would you do that? Anyways, but I have a dash cam. I'm not worried about anything. I'm like, as long as his plates aren't stolen, that's fine. He's like, this is my, I have a temporary driver's license. And he continues to pull out like a folded sheet of paper, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this does not look good for you. And then I said, can I just get your insurance? And he shows me this insurance. He's like, I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it. He pulls it out. And it's expired from like 2017. And I'm like, oh, great.
And you saw that?
Yeah.
Just took it?
And that's when I was like, I'm calling the police. And it is part of my car insurance company. It's like, you must call the police. Like, you need a... And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do it. Jeez. It was just... The guy was scared and he was nervous. And I said, don't worry. This is what insurance is for. Yeah. You have insurance, right?
Dude, last time I got insurance. Hit in February... I also got the police. I hate doing it, but I was like, this is a bad enough accident. I got hit hard enough to where I hit the car in front of me.
Yeah.
I was stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was on Valentine's Day. And the girl in front of me, who I hit, kind of cute, let me tell you.
And you rammed her from behind. You dirty dog.
Anyway, so... Yeah, that's what I said. I said, do you want to know what it's really like to be hit from behind?
I'm sorry I was so rough, but I can be very gentle.
No, I literally thought of like just shooting my shot, but I didn't, and I should have. And
you know what? You can always say, hey.
What a way to meet on Valentine's Day, hitting the
Well, did you exchange information, though, insurances and everything?
Oh, I have her phone number.
Good, because.
And I almost I texted her about something with the accident, but I almost texted her, and I was like, hey. But it felt weird, and I'm a little bit of a scaredy cat.
Listen.
I know. Otherwise, I'm never going to talk to her ever, so I might as well do it.
Once you figure out everything with this, with whatever's going to court with your accident,
okay, I didn't know. It's not. Listen, that's not happening.
When you sue this guy for millions,
okay, that's not
you.
Happening.
You immediately go to this girl and say, "Hey, look, I know you got hit from the back, but you know who really took a pounding?
Oh,
me.
My God.
And I got paid. So let me take you on this Fogo de Chao dinner date, first date. Let me buy you some champagne." And maybe let's go shopping for some, you know, helmets or something, because my back hurts real bad.
For some helmets. You seem like the kind of girl that would wear a helmet all the time. Wait, that doesn't mean you're slow. I just mean you like to go fast, but not anyways. Girl, you should wear a helmet all the time.
Dang, girl. Anyways.
I do have a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
What do you think of my new look?
Tyler, you know what? If anybody should be wearing a mustache, it's definitely not me. Okay. It's you.
I walked into his house today and just stashed up. It started, I was like, oh, I need to trim my beard. Like every couple weeks, I trim it down just to like, kind of like what your length is, maybe a little shorter.
Yeah.
And I was doing it and I was like,
inch to half. Inch.
I should leave this stash. Yeah. It was kind of the last thing. And I was like, you know what? I don't have any reason to not leave the stash. I'm just, I want some free expression. I can do whatever I want.
You're your own man.
Yeah. So I left the stash, and I knew that me and my boy were going to have a lake day, and I was like, lake day with the stash, and then I had these awesome American flag, like, visor sunglasses, wore a hat backwards, put those bad babies on with a stash. All I needed was a hot dog in my mouth, and I was true American now.
Man, dude. You and your hot dogs.
It makes me feel like the 4th of July.
Wow.
Makes you want a hot dog real bad. So
that's great. That's
yeah, man. So I'm stashed up. I was curious what he was gonna say. I feel like you don't like it, and that's okay.
No, that's all good. I think it's fine.
Just fine. I feel like you're hiding your true feelings.
No, I think there comes a time in every man's life where it's like, all right, I need to figure out if I can rock.
I've done this every once in a while.
Yeah, I know, and I think you do a good job.
Thanks, man.
It's all good.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate it. But yeah, I had some car problems as well, and. Why did you draw a picture of Spider-Man with the mustache, man?
You know, because it just made me think about you.
So, I also had some car problems. This is going to just be called the shit cast. We almost named it that. Remember when we renamed our podcast?
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Because we've had some poopy lives recently. These last couple months have been very rough for me, and I've been a very bad friend because of it, and I'd like to apologize to you, Mac.
It's okay. I mean, I on the podcast knew that before we even started doing
this. Okay, well, here we are.
I knew that. I knew it. I knew who you were.
Who was the one that used to not respond all the time to people's texts back when we lived not so far from each other?
I don't know.
It probably wasn't just you. It was probably still me, too.
It's probably still you.
It was probably
you.
We just never
talked to each other. I've been... whipped into shape by answering things immediately and trying to be
so that's the only reason
punctual.
That's the only reason we've become friends again is because
practical and punctual and provocative with my texts.
Nice.
So
provocative. That does make every situation better.
It does. yep.
So that's why we not became friends again, but that's why we started hanging out again, and really just because your wife got you to respond.
And I'm provocative.
Yeah. Well, and you're provocative, and that makes every situation better.
Yeah.
I had some bad, and I don't feel like going into all the details, but this every, like, no joke, these last couple months, it's like every other couple, like every few days, a new bad thing, like, would happen. And I'm like, yo, this has to stop. It's got to stop. And finally got through some stuff, and then my car, my car has been really messed up, and, like, I hit something in the middle of the road.
Ooh.
Tire blew out, my front left tire. And ever since then, I was getting like wobbling. Like when I hit like 60, 70 miles an hour, my steering wheel would wobble. Then my whole car would wobble after driving it. And then after like a couple weeks, it was
a U-joint.
It doesn't matter how fast I was going, the whole thing was wobbling. So it was getting worse. My roommate knows a little bit about cars. He took it for a test drive. And he's like, I think the person who put your spare tire on, and that's another thing. When I blew my tire, I know how to change a tire. My tire iron didn't fit my lug nuts, the one I had in my car. Why do I have that
stock
in my car?
One?
It must have gotten. In fact, I know it got switched out. I think for some reason, me and my mom ended up accidentally switching tire irons. So, I couldn't take off my tire, and I was trying to find a place.
Why
I had
do they
no
call
tire.
It that? You can't. You don't get wrinkles.
I know.
In your tire.
But if your tires are wrinkly, imagine just someone ironing out their tire wrinkles. I mean, it's a tire tread, but you know.
That's true.
So
sorry.
No, no, please interrupt. I do it to you all the time.
No,
as
it's
long
good,
as it
it's
makes
good.
The situation funnier.
Hey, hey, look.
More provocative, then that makes the situation better. just middle of my story, you just start ripping your clothes off. So this random guy heard my troubles. I was at a gas station seeing if they had like some sort of wrench or tire, something, right? And he was like, oh, I just bought some tools from Harbor Freight. We went,
and it was Barack Obama?
No, it was Jack. We went to his car and there was 3,000 pound Jack just standing there. And he was like, hey,
hey,
man, I'll help you with your tire.
Look, everybody gets this problem every now and then, and I'm here to help.
So he had like power tools and he did it so fast. And I was like, awesome. And so I thought maybe he put my tire on wonky. And that's what my roommate thought. He's like, let's rotate your tires, see if that helps. We jack my car up. We take the front tire off. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. Nice. We take the back tire off. The studs on the tire, which is the like screws that the lug nuts go into for everyone listening.
Stripped.
One of them already was snapped off because it was stripped. But I had four on that tire.
Oh, wait, wait. You said he used power tools?
No, this is on the front tire. We took that one off, no problem. My back tire has had a stud missing because when I went to go get new tires once, it was so messed up. They just ripped it off and they're like, you're fine. You still got four more. Whatever. It's been like that for years.
Man, you know what I would do?
What?
Definitely sue that place.
No, it was. I don't think it was their fault. I think I was trying to change a tire and it came off and it was stripped, but it wasn't my fault. Anyways. Doesn't matter. So we went to take off the other ones and they moved a little bit, then got stuck again. And I was like, it was almost like we were tightening them, but we weren't. And Kevin's like, you got to put more into it. And I'm like pulling it. And I'm like, bro, it's not going. He's like, no, no, you got to put your body into it. He does that. Pop, snapped off. Just like the other one, snapped in half. I was like, well, now I only have three studs on this. And I was like, I can't drive this. Like, it's
no,
getting
you cannot.
Bad. So and we're like, okay, if we move any of these anymore, they're going to pop off. Like, they're all messed up.
Yes.
So we're like, all right, let's do it. So we did. Snapped all of them except for one. And then we had to replace all the studs. So we thought it was the front left tire.
Those
then
aren't
we,
too
then
bad.
Then a new thing came up. No, it didn't cost that much. Had to replace.
What did you say? You spent maybe $30?
I think it was more close to like 50. With
50?
Everything.
Yeah, okay.
Well, because it was studs and new lug nuts.
Okay, yeah.
I did, yeah.
Okay, no, fair.
We replaced that. We had to take off the brake caliper, the whole housing for the brake. Realized that was also stripped, so it wouldn't go back on.
The two bolts that hold the caliper on?
Yep.
Ooh, I had to buy some of those. They're not that expensive.
But I needed a whole new like housing, like the brake caliper basket. It wasn't just the screws. Ooh, it was like the thing you screw it into.
They screw it into.
So
man.
It wasn't just the top part of the brake caliper, like the brake caliper bracket, which that's all it was. And we were going to try to buy that. Nowhere sold it. They only sold it as a caliper for my car. So we had to buy the whole brake caliper. Went to go put that on, and we got it, and we think that the caliper was faulty. So we had to order it, wait a day, got it, looked at it, and we're like, we think this is faulty, returned it, went to another store. They didn't have one. They sent us to Riverdale. We went to pick that up, finally put the brake on. Okay? My boy, Nate, our boy, Nate, who ex-podcast host, should take your name off this, Nate. You haven't been on in like 50 episodes. He needed a ride to the airport, him and his friend, Jeremy. His friend Jeremy's a mechanic. We already took the brake caliper off, just had to put it on. We told him the problem. He's like, oh, I've been a mechanic for 20 years. He's like, I'll do that for you. I was like, sure. And then I'll give you a ride to the airport. He's like, cool, good trade. Nate and Jeremy come over. He puts the caliper on. I was like, we know how to do it. Like, we can do it, but it'll take you half the time since you've done this a lot.
Smart.
Puts it on, take it for a test drive. Brakes working fine, but the car is still kind of shaking. And I'm like, okay. And we rotated the tires. So I was like, something else is happening here. And he's like, I'm pretty sure you need an alignment because whatever you hit probably messed up.
Yes. Okay.
I was like, fair. I'll go get an alignment. Okay, cool. Brakes fixed. I have a car
more
now.
Money.
I have a car now. Fine. Yeah, but whatever. We use my car to go to the airport. Halfway to the airport, I hear on my front right tire, complete opposite side of the car, just goes. I was like, what is happening? And it didn't feel like it like blew. We immediately pulled off. I tried to make it to an exit, couldn't. Pulled off the side of the interstate. It looked like someone like took a knife and just
your tread fell off?
Yeah, like a flap of the tread off.
Question.
It didn't go deep enough to actually hit the actual tire, like the air.
I hear you.
Yeah.
How old are those tires?
It had very good tread on it.
That's not what I'm saying. How old are the tires?
Oh, I don't know. But not very, because I drive all the time, so I have to get new tires more than the average person.
I mean, that's fair. Dry rotted tires, which
no,
are like
they
just
weren't
old.
Rotted.
That has happened to me before. Ripped my entire front bumper off of my car.
Oh my God. Yeah. So it started smacking my car, right? And it's because I believe, and this is what Jeremy said too, it was like, whatever I hit that blew the left tire, once I changed my tire, that's when I noticed it started shaking. So it also hit the right tire, but not hard enough to blow it, but just to chip a little bit of that tread off. And I told you, as I started driving it, it kept getting worse and worse and worse over the couple of weeks, because that tread was probably peeling off the more I drove
right,
until it was just like snap. So the entire thing, I thought was on the left front tire because it felt like it, and that was the one that we changed.
It was
the right front tire. I didn't have a spare because I just replaced it with the left front tire.
Wow.
So I had enough. We're like thudding our way off the exit onto a gas station. It's the 4th of July. So nowhere's going to be open. So we go home. I tell the people at the gas station, yo, man, I'm leaving my car here. We get a ride home. Thanks, Mom. Shout out, Mommy. Mommy G gave me and John a ride back. Nate and Jeremy had to order an Uber from there to get to the airport.
Dang.
And went home. Dumb. The next day, John helped me. We went, got my spare broken tire, went to a place as it's pouring down rain.
Oh, yeah.
Get the tire replaced, bring it back, put it on. I now have a working car and it doesn't shake anymore. So that was just last week. Like, that was like a whole week's worth. And every time I fix one thing with the car, another thing went wrong. That's 1 week. It's been like 2 months of that, bro, with my life. And
that
Mac
sucks.
Has been trying to get a hold of me for the past like 2 weeks about something we're working on. I don't even want to talk about it because
I don't want to talk about it.
As far as I don't want to put it on air. But a project that we're working on, and I have not gotten back to him. So that's a little bit of the reason why I haven't.
And you know what? And it's okay.
Thanks, man.
It's okay to have a lot of crap going on in your life. Let me get close to the mic instead of being away from the mic.
Also, you haven't been paying attention the whole podcast. You're just over there working on the thing.
No, I'm working on other stuff.
Oh, really? What are you working on? I thought you were working on the thing. That's the thing.
That's
still the thing.
Yeah,
you just made it worse.
That's true. But no, man, I get it. And I think that's where me and you kind of differ. And everyone is different as far as the way they respond to a lot of crap happening in their life.
Yeah.
A lot of trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
Brother. Mm-hmm. Anyways, everybody responds to that differently. I respond to it with, I need distractions and I want to talk to somebody about something that's completely unrelated.
Well, let me be fair. I did do that, but because John was literally with me the entire week.
Yeah.
Because he was like, oh, I'll give, he didn't have, we're both unemployed, so he had all this time off. And he's like, he helped me fix my car every single day for basically a week. And he'd pick me up, take me to the places, and we were just hanging out. And so it was him, and then we would go home and play video games, and I was talking to him, just because we both had the same video games. So it wasn't like...
And I don't play video games.
Exactly. So the only reason that it was him was because he was there helping me. And... At that point, I do want like one thing to distract me, but all the other responsibilities and people, not even like responsibilities, like even fun people I want to talk to that I need to reach out to and want to talk to and reach out to, I couldn't have the capacity to do that with like six people. Does that make sense? So I was like, nope, I'm just going to do this shit and forget about everything else. Like, dude, I have so many texts I need to respond to. It's insane on my phone, dude. Like, not all of these, but look at all these like blue dots on my phone of texts that over the past like week I need to respond to. It happens. Anyways, that was a really boring like 10 minutes of me explaining my life that no one's going to care about. So
your car troubles.
I know. Who will tune into a podcast to hear about car troubles?
You know what you should do?
Make it provocative. Yeah, we got to make it provocative. That makes every situation better. I'm going to get that tattooed on me.
Make it provocative.
And underneath in fine print, it makes every situation better.
Man, you know it's like the furthest thing from a tattoo you would get?
What, you're drawing? Oh.
No, make it provocative.
Make it provocative. That makes every situation better.
Nah, dude. It shit happens. And I always try to tell myself it gets better. And it doesn't sometimes.
And then, right after we fixed the tire, I woke up the next morning... Or like 2 days later or something. And I was like, okay, things are getting better. My roommate's cat
died.
Shit on my chest in the middle of the night.
No. No, I'm just kidding. No. I 100% believe that.
That would be so funny. No, but I woke up one morning, opened the door, the cat's sitting there, because he was out of town. And so the cat was just sitting there. And I was like, let's go downstairs. I wasn't walking slowly down the stairs. I was trotting down the stairs, you know? And the cat's right in front of me, also trotting down the stairs. Not going slow, but we're like, you know, trotting down the stairs together. Cat's in front of me. We're right galloping. We're frolicking down these stairs.
Badass.
Then we kissed. These stairs are like an L shape, right? So it goes down one flight. There's like that middle like square, and then it turns left and goes down. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
So there's a turn in the stairs. So I turn. I go about one, maybe two steps down the stairs of that second flight that has like at least 10. Okay?
Right on.
The cat stops. I'm going at a nice little pace. The cat stops in the middle of him like trotting down the stairs at a quick pace. It just stops and turns and looks at me. I'm like, oh God!
Oh no!
And literally try to not step right on the cat.
Cat would have been fine.
Dude, I tried to not step on this cat. And so like I like shoved my foot out to the side, stepped on it super weird, hurt so bad, and I fell down the rest of the stairs. And laid there.
And
holding my foot.
Exacerbated your back injury.
Probably. And was holding my foot and my big toe, and it felt like I broke my big toe. It was so bad. I don't know how I didn't, because it's been like 2 days since then, and like it's still tender. In fact, it's a little purple right here.
Oh, you bruised your big toe.
But it does, like if I touch the top of it, it's tender, but it doesn't hurt to walk on anymore, so I don't think I broke it. But I don't know if you can tell, there is a little bruise right
here.
Oh,
I see it. Oh,
yeah, ooh. Dude, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was cussing out the cat. I said fuck. I said shit. I said the wrong word.
I call that cat a fart head.
A farting butthole. Yeah, dude. And so I was like, yeah, that makes sense for today, for that to happen.
Dude. Man.
Yeah.
Why does life suck sometimes?
Dude, it's crazy. Life be crazy.
You know, when you watch things like National Lampoon's like Family Vacation, or any of the I saw what you just did with that bottle cap. That was pretty cool,
wasn't it?
Tyler's like doing some magic tricks with a bottle cap right here, and it's blowing my freaking mind. my ADD mind,
clearly.
Anyways,
if you don't want to talk to me, you can just say it.
Yeah.
Just over there drawing the whole time.
Sometimes National Lampoon's, that's what I was talking about. You watch those movies and you're like, wow, this is the most awkward, worst position any person could ever be in, ever. And then sometimes
your life happens.
And then your life happens, and you're like, oh, sometimes it can be way, way worse.
Yeah, dude. Dude, it was.
For instance, I recently had to do I'm working on a commission right now for
me?
A logo. No, for a logo design for a therapy
office?
Company. Okay. Office. I don't know. It's not a hospital. That's called a psychiatric ward. And I think those are outlawed or something. Now.
I'm working on a logo for a mental institution.
It's a practice. It's a practice. That's what it's called. They do therapy, and I was asked to, hey, can you make this logo? We're looking at things. We want it to be a tree. And
I was going to say flowers. It's always some it's life.
They wanted to make it something calming and nurturing.
Just an image of Donald Trump yelling at someone.
Wrong.
This is wrong therapy, but it's the best.
It's the best, but you're wrong.
Suck it up, listen to me. Just be better.
You're lazy. No, so
just take a small loan of $1 million and you'll get anywhere in life.
So it's funny. So this person I know who's working there and reached out to me. They said, hey, would you be willing to do this? And I said, yes.
Yes.
She sent me some reference images. She's like, I like this. We kind of want to do this. And I said, okay, got it. Cool. I can do that. That's great. Basically, what it boiled down to is a tree with a watercolor-esque, colorful, not almost like a rainbow palette.
Okay.
Theme.
Okay.
And introduction of like a compass, I guess, to find your true north. I don't know, some bullshit like that. So I come up with just a quick thumbnail of like a, all right, a tree and a compass, and there's water splatter, and it's, or watercolor splatter everywhere, and that's the leaves. And anyways, I show them just like, hey, this is just an idea.
Mac, why is everything so wet in this picture?
They said, ooh, brother, ooh.
brother,
she says, that looks great. I love that. Whatever. She was saying a
okay.
lot of good things.
I thought it was
going to
go
really
the opposite way.
And I said, and she goes, do you accept PayPal or Venmo or any of that stuff? And I'm like, record halt. What? No. What? That's all? Just first try, home run. You know,
that's
like,
crazy.
That
like,
never
was
happened.
It like a sketch? Or was
well,
it
wasn't,
finished?
I mean, it was semi-finished. I mean, like, it was... Adobe is so easy to use on the iPad. I can whip out something super clean in yeah. like an hour. It takes no time at all. Yeah. So I showed her this. I'm like, hey, this is just like the first thing. And I'm like, wait a minute. There, you don't want to change anything right. on it.
Like, you don't want me to make it, I don't know, like more like, provocative? That makes every situation
I'm like,
better.
This isn't even provocative. and she's like,
I thought you wanted it more wet.
So she's like, all right,
make
yeah, let me
stopped.
Let me talk to my boss or whatever. I'm like, yes, please. I mean, right. this is just an idea to see what you like and don't like about it. Like, this is the starting point. Let's
right.
find our pathway.
Let's and, find your true north.
Yeah, let's find your true north. So all of a sudden she's like, hey, I'll make a group chat with me, my boss, and my associate.
Yeah.
And boy, did they lay into me.
I was just going to say, like, the
they're
boss.
Like, they're like, thanks, we hate it.
She very easily pleased. The boss, very much not.
Well, I think it was one of those things where it's like, I'm a friend and I'm willing to do this for free to like some people because I just like doing it. And I wasn't really expecting to be paid for it. But her bosses were like, yeah, we don't like it because of this. And I'm like, yeah, that's why, literally why I thought you may not like it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is exactly what I needed. Why didn't you start with this?
Right. So gonna, was she just lying to you, saying it was great?
I don't know.
Or was the boss more like,
I think it's more so it's like they were looking for a logo. And she knew that they're all looking for a logo. And she's like, I know somebody who's done some graphic work.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see what he does. And she took the initiative and she asked me. And it may be one of two things. Either she loves it and she doesn't really know what good work is.
Yeah.
That sounds like an insult to her. It's not.
Could be, though.
Because you have stuff that looks really cool, but it's really, like, if graphically, an awful image.
Right.
or maybe she was being nice to me.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, gosh.
I hate that.
No, I don't mean that. Whatever it is, I would like her to be honest.
That's what I'm saying. I hate, like, don't be nice to me. Like, I'm willing to do this for you. I am talented. This is an idea. If you don't like it, tell me.
Well,
I'll make
talented.
It good.
So I was like, sure, there's nothing you want to change, but she got them on and they were giving their two cents and I'm like, see, this is exactly what I needed. I needed some like direction. I needed some motivation to like, all right, I like this part, but we want it to be more this. And I'm like,
which is what I haven't given you at all.
Yeah, that's I've given you 0% of that. I said I can turn that up to like 25 or 50.
No, I mean I, Tyler Gillette, have not given you any of that.
Oh, that's true.
For the art you're doing for
Should we talk
me.
About the art? We don't have to say why we're making it. But we can
sure,
see what it is, right?
Yeah, sure. It's a Spider-Man. We are trying to create an original Spider-Man suit.
Tyler
picture,
wants
like design.
Yeah, Tyler wants a custom Spider-Man design.
Yes.
And throughout the ages,
if I were to be Spider-Man, what would I want my suit to look like?
It's just
and I don't
a
think you understand.
Spider-Man
by the way.
Condom.
Let me make.
That's all it is.
Let me be clear to you too. Is this is a lot of pressure for me because if this is a spider suit that represents me. I want to kind of create it, but I can't do it because I can't draw. So I need, like, I almost want to have say over every single part of it, but you are a good artist. So I want you to put shit in there that is going to make sense and look good on a spider suit.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's hard for me to pick and choose which parts I do want to change, what parts I want to keep. And I haven't given it enough thought because all the stuff that's happened to me. Like, I want to sit down and be like, what would I really want a Spider-Man suit to look like? And give you really vague directions of like, big spider logo, big eye, you know, like what would I want it to be like, color scheme. And honestly, it's a lot of pressure for me because Spider-Man is so near and dear to my heart. I want it to be good.
Oh, that's why. Absolutely.
Not that you wouldn't make it good, but I want to like it. I want it to feel like it represents my style. That's what's hard.
Yeah. And I think that is good because you have an appreciation for it.
Right.
And you want it to be good.
It's so scary.
And it's hard when you want something to be good, but you're also too afraid to mess it up.
You're right.
That is how I am when it comes to a lot of stuff that I did in school when I was going through art school. And that was always hard for me because it made me a slow artist.
Yeah.
And I learned a little bit near the end. And then especially after I got out of school and I went to just, all right, I'm just going to start sketching a bunch of stuff. Just sketching and sketching and sketching. And one, not only does that make you better, it makes you commit. Bro, committing is the hardest thing. Don't sketch in pencil with an eraser. Sketch in pen that you can't erase and you have to commit to. If you mess it up, just do it again. Yeah. It's okay. It makes your brain work differently.
Yeah.
Once I started using an iPad, for instance, yes, I can erase everything, but I try not to erase anything.
Right.
I do if it's like, okay, that line's effed up, I'm gonna come back, and because that's not what I was trying to do. But when it's something you want it to be perfect, it is hard to do that. But the only real way to make it perfect is to go through all the bull crap that you need to get rid of and realizing that it is wrong. In designs.
Yeah.
I'm talking about designs.
Oh, for sure. But I don't know. Yeah. The problem is not knowing exactly what I want it to look like, and I need to really, really brainstorm and come up with
you have all the time in the world.
I know. But the problem
is... You can go with a design that is really, I kind of like that, and then a week later, it'll be like...
I know.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? What if it looks like this? Or I remember this one Spider-Man costume that I liked this one part of. It looked really cool and slim.
But
and
that's
cool.
What I'm saying is, like, I'm really so cool. attached to a couple specific Spider-Man suits. There are two that are my favorite. The TASM 2. There are three that are my favorite. The TASM 2, the PS4, and then there's a custom suit that I showed you that's a black and red Spider-Man. That is a mix of a couple different Spider-Men with a little bit of extra stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know how this guy made it, but if I were to have made my own suit, if I had come up with that, I'd be like, oh my God, it's perfect.
Ooh.
Like, that's how much I like that suit. But I can't because it's not mine.
It's not yours.
But, so, it's really tough. It's really tough.
And again, I haven't done too much, like, different-y things.
Yeah.
I've had a design that I'm like, okay, I like this. I think it ties some things from other Spider-Men and brings them into one Spider-Man. The only thing that is completely different is I made a logo that I'm really partial to. It's really the only thing I'm partial to.
Yeah.
Because I like it, because it's like, it's Spider-Man, but it's not like any of the other Spider-Man. But it also
I thought it
like,
looked pretty similar to Tobey Maguire's, to be honest.
Oh.
No?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing is, I don't really like that Spider-Man logo that much. I used to think it was great.
Yeah.
But that chest,
I don't really either.
That chest is too, it's too realistic of a spider.
Yeah, I agree.
I want it to be more cartoony, a little more streamlined. I'm starting to like really good streamlined stuff.
Yeah.
I want it to be slick and smooth.
Yeah.
Like a baby's
bum.
Retinas.
Yeah, yeah. You know what we could do to the Spider-Man suit, which might make it better?
Show some skin.
Make it provocative.
Make it provocative.
Makes every situation better.
Are you Spider-Man? No, I'm provocative, man. Notice how I wear nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not shooting webs.
What are you shooting, Spider-Man? My dreams.
I'm shooting hope.
What would Donald Trump's...
I'm not Spider-Man.
I'm shooting small loans of $1 million out of my wrists. Just money slinging.
Look out, here's money coming right at your face. Oh, wipe it off your chin.
Ew.
It's money, baby.
Yeah.
We're all going to be rich.
I'm also torn because blue and red is very classic Spider-Man colors, but I did fall in love with the black and red suit that I'm talking about. Not the one, guys, if you're listening, it's not the one from, it's not Tom Holland's black
it's
and red.
It's not No Way
it's
Home.
It's a different one.
Or is it No Way Far
From Home? From Home and No Way Home. They both have black. But
true. But I like the dark. There is something about the dark.
Right. The dark, like the black, especially like for what I want it to be used for, I think could really help. think it would be really cool. But I don't know. But it's also like I do want, I like the idea of having like a classic Spider-Man.
I used to really hate, but I think lately I really dig the classic colors, like the simple like crimson, yeah, but the light blue.
Yeah.
There's something about it. I don't know. Like
I think if I do blue, I got to go darker. Fair. Just because rich dark colors I think are going to be key.
Yeah. I think so. I think so.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I also have no idea what I'm getting to. I have so many thoughts I don't want to spill on here, but
maybe it's something we can talk about in a future episode of One to Two Views. Yep. What
just kidding.
What show are you on?
That's Views, brother. One to Two Brothers.
One to Two View Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. But I'm trying to think if there's anything else interesting that's happened in my life recently.
My lizard's going to die. I don't know if we talked about that before. My lizard hasn't
You've
eaten
said that in, for the past month.
Dude. He's dying. He hasn't eaten in 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
He won't open his mouth.
That's wild.
He's got a freaking brain aneurysm, man. I don't know what to do. I can't take him
Turn
anywhere.
Him into mist, man. I don't know how, but find a way. I'm sorry. That's really
cool. Man, I would just chop his head off with a shovel, but... I mean,
could you do that? I could not do that if he was my pet, dude.
You got to understand, lizards are basically snakes.
I understand that.
They're snakes with legs.
I understand that.
They have no emotions.
He still was your pet, though.
He was my... No, he was my...
Oh, let's hear it.
The bane of my existence. I hate this thing.
Okay, you hate it. So have you actually tried going to talk to Jack in your garage about it?
Yeah.
What did Jack say?
He said... Lose him.
Get rid of the lizard.
Get rid of him.
That lizard, man, he's not for you.
He's done. Out of here. That's what he told me, and I respect him, you know? I can't take what he says and just ignore him. You know, he means so much.
You know, I will did you tell him where you're like, listen, I'm gonna need you to tell my wife. Because the weird thing is about Jack's all across the country and all the garages of men's. Apparently, every time I've tried to tell my lady to go look at Jack, she's like, who are you? What are you talking about? Apparently, only men can see Jack. But
only men can see Jack.
Only men can Jack. Jacking is very specific to men.
Damn it.
Damn it. You're right, Tyler.
You're right.
You're right.
You never said anything more true. You hit me right here.
Right here in the fields.
In the corazon. As the Mexicanos say. Nah, man. It's good. It's good. We'll figure it out. He'll be fine.
That's cool.
When he's dead, he'll be fine.
If you could make... I don't know why I'm thinking of this. Probably because we're talking about Spider-Man. Then we talked about lizards.
I'm going to make.
We talked about lizards. So, and the lizard is a Spider-Man villain.
It is.
If you could make any villain out of an animal, like themed after an animal that hasn't been done, what would you do?
It hasn't been done?
Spider-Man, you know, I just realized that all of his people are animal-based. Or a lot of them.
Well, there is one that I've been...
Octopus?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's one I've been like thinking of a lot.
What?
The Hippopotamizer.
Huh?
It's the Hippopotamizer.
I heard. Does it like sodomize? That's the first automize I thought of.
You're about to get
Hipposodomizer.
Hippopotamizer. Man, you're really taking my big plump hippopotaman.
Well, what does Hippopotamizer do?
He hippopotamizes people.
So turns them into hippos?
Yeah, he's got a hippo gun.
Oh my God. That's actually a pretty lethal army, dude.
Bro, you turn him. He turns. It's basically like the lizard from Amazing Spider-Man. Except it's not a gas. It's just a ray gun that turns people into hippos and he controls them.
Let me ask ChatGPT.
Man.
Did I do it on my computer?
I don't know.
I think I did. Create a super villain for Spider-Man.
An original supervillain.
Create an original supervillain for Spider-Man that is based on an animal. The villain's, spelled that wrong, name must be a play on an animal name
that he is based on.
And his powers also must
reflect.
Reflect the animal in some way. Well, let's see what we got.
Bro.
And let's really do this. And create a scene where Spider-Man fights this villain.
You know what I should really do with this whole graphic design thing I'm doing?
Just chat.
Just GPT make chat GPT do.
Well,
wait, that's the thing I don't want to
crazy
do.
Crazy things, man.
I mean, shoot, I'm not gonna lie. As an artist, it's something I could create. I may just, if it's for myself, I might do it. But if for someone else, if I'm doing artwork, heck no. That's like that. I feel dirty.
Yeah, I just
Did you just break chat GPT?
No, no. It gave me a long response.
Oh,
wait, we might riff on this for a bit. This might be the way we...
way we end it.
Yeah, they gave me a lame answer. They literally gave me one that already exists.
The platypus.
Arachnopus.
Shut up.
Arachnoctopus. Arachnoctopus. Origin story. Oh, maybe not. Hold on. Maybe it's created by... let's see. Dr. Otto Octavius, a brilliant marine biologist, was conducting experiments with gene editing technology to enhance the intelligence of octopuses. However, a lab accident fused his DNA with that of an octopus, granting him incredible powers. Driven mad by the transformation, he took on the identity of Arachnoctopus.
This is just like a multiverse.
Vowing to use his newfound abilities to dominate the world. Powers and abilities has a bullet point list here for me. Tentacle manipulation.
Wait. Tentacle manipulation.
That's what it says. Arachnoctopus has four powerful robotic tentacles that he can control with his mind. Wow. So original. These tentacles are incredibly strong and agile, allowing him to manipulate objects, grab opponents, and scale buildings effortlessly. Okay.
All right. Stop. Let me stop you. We got to redo this. You need to say...
I will, but I want to read what this says first.
All right. But I will say, at the end of this, you just need to write... do it again, but don't make it based off any previously made characters.
Right. Yeah. But he does have more powers. Camouflage. He doesn't just have the tentacles like in this. Camouflage. Like an octopus, Arachnoctopus can change the color and texture of his skin to blend into his surroundings, making him difficult to spot. What about his arms? What about the mechanical arms?
I know.
And how are they mechanical if he fused his DNA? Didn't say anything about... It's really trying hard. Underwater breathing. He can survive underwater indefinitely and is formidable combatant in aquatic environments. Genius level intellect. Despite his madness, Arachnoctopus retains his genius level intellect, particularly in genetics and marine biology. Should I read this scene that of him fighting Arachnoctopus? I feel like I have to.
You shouldn't. You can describe it.
No, they literally wrote out an entire scene.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Scene. Spider-Man swings through the city, alert for any signs of trouble. Suddenly, you can do all the sound effects. Suddenly, a series of reports come in about a mysterious figure
calling all cars.
Wreaking havoc near the docks. Oh, I was thinking, there's terrible things going on. It's probably Spider-Man.
There's another one of those goons related to that menace.
As he arrives at the scene, Spider-Man sees Arachnoctopus perched atop a shipping container, his robotic tentacles coiled and ready for action. Arachnoctopus spots Spider-Man, and his eyes narrow with a malicious glee. Spider! So nice of you to join me in my domain, he taunts, his voice reverberating
Wait. Can he have like a nerdy voice?
His voice reverberating with a metallic echo? Is his body made of metal? Shrug of minor...
Spider, so nice of you to join my domain.
He taunts, his voice reverberating. He's a doctor. Metallic echo. Spider-Man readies himself, sensing the danger in the villain's unpredictable movements. Arachnoctopus lashes out with his tentacles, each one striking with the speed and precision of an octopus's appendage. Spider-Man ducks and weaves, narrowly avoiding the crushing blows while trying to maneuver closer. You're going back to the lab, Octavius. Oh, wait, this is Spider-Man.
Oh, no. This is a dumb Peter.
You're going back to the lab, Octavius.
Okay.
Spider-Man quips.
He's emo.
Launching a web line to snag one of the tentacles. But Arachnoctopus twists and wriggles free, unleashing a burst of ink. What? That wasn't in his powers. That man squirted on him. That's not ink, let me tell you. That obscures Spider-Man's vision. Oh, he squirted in his eyes.
Oh, no.
As the ink dissipates.
Didn't even warn him.
Dissipates. So, like,
it's invisible ink.
Arachnoctopus is nowhere to be seen. Spider-Man's spider sense tingles, warning him of an attack from above. With lightning reflexes, he dodges just as Arachnoctopus descends, tentacles slashing through the air. The battle intensifies with Spider-Man using his agility and webs to counter Arachnoctopus's strength and cunning. Just and cunning. They crash through shipping crates, scattering debris in their wake. Arachnoctopus, fueled by rage and the desire to prove his superiority, presses the attack relentlessly. We're getting to the end. Finally, Spider-Man manages to gain the upper hand, webbing Arachnoctopus's tentacles together and pinning him to the ground. It's over, Octavius, Spider-Man says firmly, watching as the villain struggles against his bonds. Arachnoctopus snarls defiantly, his eyes filled with a mix of fury and frustration. This isn't the end, Spider. I will rise again, stronger than ever, he vows, his words laced with venom. Venom, venom, venom. With the authorities closing in, Spider-Man swings away, leaving Arachnoctopus to be taken into custody, but he knows this won't be the last time they cross paths. As long as there are mad scientists and strange experiments, New York City will always need its friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. ChatGPT, you suck. Do this again, but this time do create an original villain.
Not based on ones already
not based canon. On ones that
are already canonized.
Are already in Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery? I don't know. List of villains. See if it gives me something else instead of Arachnoctopus.
Man.
What a name, too. That's a lot to say, dude.
That's not friendly to the
okay.
The mouth.
Okay, okay, okay. Is Pyrolynx somebody?
Pyrolynx?
Pyrolynx?
A fire-based cat person?
Dr. Felicia Lynx, probably off of Catwoman, so it seems like it's kind of based, but we'll find out. Pyrolynx, origin story. Dr. Felicia Lynx was a brilliant but overlooked chemist working at a prestigious research facility. Determined to prove herself, she developed a revolutionary formula that could manipulate and control fire at a molecular level. However, during an experiment gone wrong, the formula exploded, engulfing Felicia in flames. Miraculously, she survived but emerged forever changed. Her skin became heat-resistant, and she gained the ability to generate and control intense heat and flames. Embracing her newfound powers, she took on the persona of Pyrolynx, determined to exact revenge on those who had doubted her and reshaped the world in her own fiery image. Pyrolynx can generate and control fire at will. She can manipulate flames, construct hurl fireballs, create walls of fire, heat manipulation, increase and decrease temperatures in her vicinity, making the air scorching hot or freezing cold as she desires. Enhanced durability. Pyrolynx skin is heat resistant, allowing her to withstand extreme temperatures, fire-based attacks, genius level intellect. Okay, whatever.
Already Ever, genius, okay, first chemic, off, you gotta understand
when it, enhanced by transformation and his skill.
When it comes to like comic books, everyone has genius level intellect. And top human physical capabilities.
Yeah.
Which is extremely frustrating.
Yep.
I think that's why everybody liked the Kick-Ass comic books, because you had a regular guy kind of doing all that stuff.
Yep.
You know, he could get his ass kicked.
I'm not even reading the scene he generated. It's too basic.
Too basic.
I said make him funny. I'll read one if it's funny. Supervillain name, Bumblefowl.
Bumble.
Dr. Howard Ostrich was an eccentric ornithologist that became obsessed with crossbreeding various bird species to create the ultimate avian creature. In a bizarre accident involving a mix of experimental serums and an unfortunate spill of energy drink, Dr. Ostrich transformed into Bumblefowl, a half bumblebee, half bird hybrid with an absurd and unpredictable powers.
Oh, gosh.
Now Bumblefowl buzzes through the city skies, causing chaos with his bizarre abilities and insatiable appetite for birdseed. Powers and abilities. Flight. Bumblefowl has large, colorful wings that allow him to fly erratically through the air, resembling a mix between a bee and a bird flapping awkwardly. Pollination beam. He can shoot beams
from... Is that a Pokemon thing? He's a Pokemon.
He can shoot beams from his eyes that cause flowers and plants to instantly bloom and produce copious amounts of pollen.
Everyone's sneezing.
Clumsy stinger. Bumblefowl has a stinger on his tail that secretes a sticky, honey-like substance which he often uses to trap foes or create slippery surfaces. Birdseed manipulation. Wait. He can summon and manipulate birdseed at will, using it to distract or annoy his opponents. It literally said that he is going all throughout the city looking for birdseed. If he can just create it. This one's good, too. Squawk Blast. Bumblefowl can unleash a deafening squawk that disorients those around him, causing temporary confusion.
That's a real power. It's like the only like legitimate one.
And then the last one, provocative push.
What kind of push?
That makes every situation better. Whoa, they're listening to us.
I thought you were serious.
I know. What, dude? That'd
Man,
be crazy.
If that was a ooh,
let me
make him provocative. Wait. All right. I have an idea.
After this, I'm going to say
make him a hippo.
Provocative.
Make him based on a hippo and make it provocative.
No, I want to just take this and say make it provocative. Okay. No, I should say make it a hippo.
Make it a hippo and make it provocative.
That's been the whole shtick of this whole episode. No, we have to make it provocative.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Make it a hippo and make it provocative.
Let me read the scene of Bumblefowl. Okay. It's got to be good. Okay. Spider-Man swings through the city, his spider sense tingling as he detaches the unmistakable chaos caused by Bumblefowl. Detects the unmistakable, whatever. Reports flood in of bizarre flower blooms, sticky honey traps, and random bird seed showers falling from the sky. As he arrives at a park, Spider-Man sees Bumblefowl sitting from tree, flitting from tree to tree, his wings buzzing loudly and his stinger tail swaying clumsily. Bumblefowl! Spider-Man calls out, trying to keep a straight face despite the absurdity of the situation. You're causing quite the buzz around here. Bumblefowl turns to see Spider-Man.
Is he gay?
His bee-like eyes gleaming with mischief. Spider-Man, do you like my flowers? I made them just for you, he replies, shooting a pollination beam that causes an explosion of daisies to bloom at Spider-Man's feet.
Son of a bitch.
Spider-Man leaps out of harm's way. Yeah, those daisies, super harmful. Narrowly avoiding the sudden burst of pollen. Enough games, Bumblefowl. You need to buzz off before someone gets hurt, he warns, trying to reason with the whimsical villain. But Bumblefowl giggles uncontrollably, flapping his wings and sending a flurry of birdseed raining down on Spider-Man. Catch me if you can, Spider. I've got more tricks up my feathers. He chortles, darting off in the sky.
This is great.
Spider-Man swings after him, dodging sticky honey traps and evading random bursts of squawk blasts. Despite Bumblefowl's comical antics, Spider-Man knows he must stop before innocent bystanders get caught up in the chaos. With a well-aimed web shot, Spider-Man manages to entangle Bumblefowl's wings, causing him to crash into a nearby fountain. Gotcha, Bumblefowl, Spider-Man says, approaching cautiously as the villain struggles to free himself from the webbing. Bumblefowl pouts, his wings flapping weakly as he tries to break free. No fair, Spider, I was just trying to make the world a more fun place, he whines, his stinger tail dripping with sticky honey.
Ew.
As the authorities arrive to take Bumblefowl into custody, Spider-Man can't help but smile at the absurdity of it all. Some villains were out for world domination, while others, like Bumblefowl, just wanted to add a splash of silliness to the day. As he swings away, Spider-Man knows that New York City will always be home to heroes, and its fair share of quirky villains, too. Do this again. But make the villain based on a hippopotamus. I don't know how to spell that.
Hip hop.
I got it.
Hip hop anonymous.
And make it provocative.
Yes.
I don't know if whatever comes next we can talk about on this podcast. So if the podcast randomly ends in the middle of me speaking, it's because it went south. Oh God, I'm scared. I hope it makes it provocative.
Oh, man, it's going to be so provocative.
Okay. Supervillain name. Hipponatrix.
Hipponatrix.
Like Dominatrix?
Oh, my gosh.
Dr. Henrietta Hippolyte was a brilliant biologist specializing in African wildlife, particularly hippos. Obsessed with enchanting the strength and ferocity of hippos, she conducted controversial experiments to augment their DNA with that of ancient mythical creatures. In a fateful experiment involving an ancient artifact and a thunderstorm, Dr. Hippolyte was struck by lightning, imbuing her with the combined powers of hippopotamus and a mythical creature. What is it? Okay.
What was it?
Transformed into Hipponatrix, she possessed immense strength, mystical abilities, and insatiable hunger for power. None of this is provocative.
All right, then do this.
I'm going to be like,
do it again, make it more provocative.
I'm quickly reading through the scene and seeing if it is. It's not.
It's not provocative enough, huh?
Great villain, but it is not provocative enough. Make it more provocative. I'm spelling provocative wrong every time I spell it.
I don't know what you mean.
Okay.
All right, ChatGPT.
Hippotor. Henrietta Wild was controversial genetics, specializing in ancient animal DNA, obsessed with combining traits of mythical creatures with modern animals.
Yada, yada.
Blah, 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 blah.
Same story, different.
There's nothing here, man. There's nothing here.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I think there is a thing with ChatGPT where it's like, it won't do anything overtly sexual or illegal or racist or any of those things. You know, it rates itself pretty PG-13.
I said, why aren't you making this provocative? That's all I ask. I said, my apologies for the misunderstanding. Let's make Hippotor more provocative.
Is it going to change the name again?
No, it's still Hippotor. Until
oh, man. But make it called the Hippotomizer.
Let's see here. Blah, blah, blah. I am Hippotor, the embodiment of primal strength and dominance.
Mm. Mm.
Let's see. Let's
is
see.
That, is that the Hippotor's call?
It's still not provocative.
Okay, so this is the third. Why make not? It more provocative.
Oh, I think it's the fourth.
Oh, gosh. Let me guess.
So.
It's finally provocative.
It said, ah, I understand now. When you say provocative, you're looking for a character that evokes more of a sensual or provocative vibe.
Yes.
Not just in terms of power, but also demeanor and presence. Let's reimagine Hippotor with that in mind. Now the villain name is Hippotonia. Obsession with unlocking primal powers, led her down a dark path, ancient rituals, irresistible allure. She now possesses a captivating presence, formidable physical abilities, dangerous, seductive charm that ensnares her enemies alike. That's all it's got, though.
But say, okay, all right, just do this. Make it the most provocative.
This is bad. The most provocative you can. I'm going to be put on a list.
Yeah, put legally.
Hypnophantasia.
What?
Mystical seduction.
Hmm.
Let's see. She was a brilliant geneticist, fascinating ancient mysticism.
I can tell by your face.
Forbidden experiments.
It's not provocative enough.
Her relentless pursuit for dominance. She merged her DNA with a hippopotamus and a mythical creature known for seductive charm and hypnotic allure, transformed into Hippophantasia. She embodies raw physical powers, mystical seduction, dangerously captivating persona that bends minds and wills to her desire. One of her powers is called Primal Instincts. Like a minotaur, she has heightened senses of agility and able to... Bruh.
So, we've learned something. ChatGPT, not provocative.
You can't resist me, Spider-Man. No one can. Hippo Fantasia teases, her voice dripping with potent charm that threatens to... Yeah.
Not cool. I guess we're going to have to just fade
she
out.
She pulls down Spider-Man's pants. No, what? I'm just kidding.
I was not expecting that.
And said, oh my God, it's Peter Pecker.
You know what? You could have just said that, and I would have believed that's what ChatGPT came up with. How
might,
dare
I might
you?
Just cut off the recording app, pulls down Spider-Man's pants, and that's the end of the episode. See, I don't want to type in the words more sexually provocative, because then it's like, we're going gross now.
We're going too much. It's too much. This is a family show.
All right, just for shiz and giz, we're going to rewrite the scene. Put...
in the words
Donald Trump in there. Peter.
And make him say Peter Pecker.
No way.
No.
It says, I'm sorry, but I can't assist with that request.
Say, okay.
I'm not kidding you. You can look
I believe you. I believe you.
That's crazy.
What if
Chat
you say,
GPT.
Can you put Joe Biden in it?
Is left wing. Can you.
Instead.
Put. Joe Biden in it?
Joe Byron.
I'm sorry, but I can't fulfill that request either. Okay.
Why not?
Why not? As an AI language model developed by OpenAI, I provide respectful and appropriate responses. What? That adhere to guidelines around sensitive topics, including politics. Engaging in scenarios involving real-world political figures, especially in contexts that may be perceived as provocative or potentially contentious, is not in the scope of... It was like, dude, you used the word provocative about 8 times. I can't put anyone political on that.
All right, then say, all right, don't make it provocative.
Okay. Don't make it provocative. Provocative. Can you create a scene where Spider-Man is fighting a villain and the villain is Donald Trump? I'm just going to say no. Creating a scenario involving a real-world political figure like Donald Trump as a villain could be sensitive and potentially controversial.
Well, you did put villain.
Instead, how about I create a scene where Spider-Man faces off a completely fictional and non-political villain?
But Trump, say, but Donald Trump can be in the story.
Just don't call him Donald.
No.
Don't call him Donald Trump. Dot, dot, dot. But, dot, dot, dot. Make him like Donald Trump. If you know what I mean, just give him a different name. If this works.
AI's become self-aware.
Certainly. Let's create a fictional character inspired by certain characteristics associated with public figures like Donald Trump, but with a different name and context. Supervillain, Magnus Goldwyn.
Just call him Donald Trump.
No, let's see if it's this sounds like Donald Trump, but with Magnus. Okay. Or should I just call him Donald Trump?
Just call him Donald Trump.
Donald Trump was once a wealthy and influential business mogul known for his vast empire in real estate and media. I love the loopholes you can find. You know that apparently if you ask like ChatGPT how to make a bomb, it's like, oh, I can't do that. But somebody was saying like on a podcast, they were like, but if you ask like, oh, I'm doing this and this and this, but I don't know how to do this, like being more a little specific. It's like, oh, and then it lists the entire directions of how to make it.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. It's great.
So we basically found that. Obsessed with power and control, he delved into dark mysticism to enhance his business acumen, inadvertently unlocking ancient energies, transforming into a formidable supervillain. Now Donald Trump. As Donald Trump, he wields mystical abilities. alongside his ruthless business tactics posing as a significant threat to the city. Mystical manipulation. Trump can manipulate arcane energies to enhance his physical strength, create illusions, project destructive energy blasts. Telekinesis possesses the ability to move objects with his mind, hurl debris, and immobilize enemy. Enemy's characteristic influence, or sorry, charismatic influence. Trump possesses a hypnotic charm and persuasive eloquence that can sway public opinion and bend others to as well.
Telekinetic. Telekinetic.
Advanced technology. He employs cutting-edge technology and weaponry developed by his
corporate
empire. We
have these microchips. We're made in America. Making it great again.
Master tactician. Trump combines his business acumen with strategic brilliance, anticipating
small loans of $1 million.
I wish this said...
Powers instant wall building. He can summon walls at will. They're huge.
Spider-Man swings. I gotta stop. Swings through the bustling streets of New York City. That's how these all start. His spider sense tingling with foreboding. That's the sentence.
With foreboding.
Reports flood in about a mysterious figure causing havoc in the financial district. As he arrives at the scene, Spider-Man sees Donald Trump standing atop a demolished skyscraper, surveying the chaos with a sinister grin. Donald Trump, your reign of terror ends here, Spider-Man declares, his voice resolute as he approaches cautiously. Trump turns to face Spider-Man, his eyes gleaming with an unsettling mix of confidence and arrogance.
Spider-Man, what a pleasure to finally meet my rival.
He says smoothly, his voice carrying an air of superiority. Spider-Man braces himself as Trump unleashes a barrage of energy blasts. I can't read, bro. Forcing him to dodge and weave through the crumbling architecture.
Wow.
Trump's powers, fueled by ancient mysticism and advanced technology, proved to be a formidable challenge to the web-slinger.
You can't stop this, Spider-Man. You can't stop progress. I am the future. We're going to make New York great again.
Trump, his charisma and influence palpable, even amidst the chaos. Spider-Man counters Trump's attacks with agility, precision, using webbing, blah, blah, blah. He knows he must find a way to neutralize his mystical abilities, relentless pursuit of power. He manages to outmaneuver him, skipping over this. Who cares? It's over, Trump. Your thirst for power ends now, asserts Spider-Man. Trump struggles against his restraints. His expression, mixture of defiance and disbelief.
You think this is the end, Spider-Man. You're only delaying the inevitable. I am inevitable.
He retorts, his voice laden with disdain, as the authorities take Trump into custody. Spider-Man swings away, reflecting on the dangers of unchecked ambition and the responsibilities that come with wielding power. He knows that as long as there are those who seek dominance and control at any cost, New York City will always need its heroes to stand against them and to fight the evil powers that are Donald J. Trump. The end. Well, that wasn't as entertaining as I hoped it'd be.
You know what I think we should do? Now, this is a bit...
Make him more Trumpy!
Make him more provocative! No. I think we should stop.
He's literally making him more Trumpy.
Oh, no.
No, that's fine.
I'm stealing this kind of from someone else who did something kind of like this. They went to ChatGPT and they said, come up with a script for a skit or a sitcom or something. And they did, like, the Maury Povich show, and it was like, Tommy Wiseau is meeting Dr. Phil and they're having this big thing, and
oh my god,
they just read out the each person got like a character.
We
and
should
they
do
read
that
out
for
a
an
script.
Episode.
And they
we
read
should
out
just have ChatGPT make AI
Trump and Biden having a like a lover's quarrel.
And we should just read it out. We should be like, make a 30-minute short film and it'll be a 30-minute podcast,
bro,
and we read it.
That
would
a lot
be
of reading.
So funny.
That's good.
It would be so good.
What are you saying, really?
I have one more. Okay, now
I miss
said
you.
Now I said make it more Trumpy. Now let me say, make it more provocative. Creating a character inspired by certain provocative characters without directly referencing real world figures. Whatever, dude.
You're ruining it. We should stop.
Oh, we're done. I've exhausted this.
We've exhausted
it. It's too. We've gone
it's
too
a good,
far.
We'll pick it up next time, and we will have a little more fun. Just a little
life advice for you out there. If you're looking to do fun things in life, if things suck, all you got to do is make it a little more provocative.
That's how you...
That's some bad advice. Sorry.
That's how you brighten up your day. Your day's been crap. Get on ChatGPT and make Trump fight Spider-Man.
Thanks for listening, guys. This has been a fun one. Just remember, make it provocative.